So you remember a couple of weeks ago, I started off this series by starting off with a kind of an orienting thought coming out of Matthew 7 about searching. And I just want to kind of go back there and perhaps build on that a little bit, which sort of goes into what I want to share with you this morning. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago, I started with this: ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. That's the kind of orienting thought for this series we're going through, Follow the Star. But that reading in Matthew 7 continues. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will you give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? That's what it's all about. But the reading continues on from there, and it's these next couple of verses I really want to focus on today. And this is what's often called the golden rule. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. If you want to sum up all of the law and the prophets, all of the Bible, if you like, that went before then, if you want to sum all of that up, you just need to remember one thing. Just treat others, do to others as you would have them do to you. You've covered it. And then he carries on. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life. And there are few who find it. So just expanding that orienting thought from where we started before about searching and seeking and knocking and asking, and about the kind of gifts that a good father will give to people who have that mindset. And also this is the kind of the flip side of that. What are we fighting against? What is the kind of natural gravity, the kind of natural inclination of life? Well, it's to take the easy road. And it's easy to fall into that. But let's get back to our Magi story, our three wise men, which is also in the Gospel of Matthew, a few chapters earlier in Matthew chapter 2. And we've heard this verse so many times. We had it last week at the carol service as well, but it's great. Just remind us of the story. Remember, the wise men have left. They followed the star as it rose, and they've arrived in Jerusalem. They're asking about the newborn king, and they obviously present themselves to Herod. And then we continue. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay homage to him." Which is in the footnotes in the Greek. I've added that for you just to give you the proper context. And when they had heard the king, they set out. Because it's panto season and I'm having fun. Oh, yes, it is. Where's the camel? To continue with our reading. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. And that's the title of what I want to share with you today, Another Road. This is what this talk is called today. And it's kind of a slightly kind of poetic riff on that last line, that last verse. Because 2 weeks ago I was talking about lifting up your eyes. You know, as they did, they followed the star, they were lifting up their eyes. They were, and for us, we might say that's about seeking the highest, seeking the best, seeking the truth. And then last week, Nick made that really practical. He was talking about the dimension of following and actually really putting that into practice, getting a move on, and how that might be practically worked out. To lift our eyes up and to follow, they are real choices. They are choices because they have real alternatives. And that's a little bit what I want to share about today. There is always an alternative. There is another way. There is another path calling us, which doesn't cause us to lift our eyes up, which doesn't cause us to follow, that keeps us in the same place and with our eyes firmly fixed on our feet. We're going to be confronted by some very real and some very hard choices, just like the Magi were, just like the wise men were. There's some speculation when it talks about another road. The obvious road that you would have come from the east, if you've ever heard of the Golden Crescent, where there's a sort of a band of fertile land that goes from sort of Babylon and it goes up the Tigris and the Euphrates up to what is the modern sort of Turkish border, and then it comes down the coast road. And that would have been the normal route that travelers would have taken, and probably that the Magi took. Because if you sort of shortcut that, if you went across the middle, that's desert, that's hard country, that's a wilderness road. And so there's speculation that this other road that the Magi took would have been a harder road. It would have been a desert road, a wilderness road, more than likely, a more difficult and more dangerous path that they chose. So that would have been a choice that they had. They had to choose to take a harder road, probably. Maybe they were offered a reward. It doesn't say in the text, but when Herod said, "Oh, come back and give me news," you know, maybe they were foregoing a reward to not do that. Or maybe there was an implicit threat. They might have been in fear of their lives if they had disobeyed the king and not done what he asked. So they were facing a real choice doing this thing. And why did they do it? Because they were warned in a dream. How seriously do you take your dreams? Would we go, it's just the cheese? Or in their day, it's just the hummus or whatever they had. They probably had cheese as well. They might say, it's nothing. It's just the cheese. It's just whatever. How seriously would... These are men who were prepared to bank everything on following a star. These were people that took their journey so seriously and so faithfully that they were prepared to make that decision. But would we? We need to take this seriously. It's not just about the positive aspect of lifting up our eyes. You know, like I said last time, lifting up our eyes to know the truth and to do the good and to love the beautiful, to seek these higher things, to be pursuing God, however he presents himself to us, to be on that journey of truth and discovery. It's not just about the positive aspect of that. We're also always facing the flip side of that. There's the real hard choice of perhaps resisting the false narrative. However deeply entrenched it is, however popular that false narrative might be in our culture, resisting that can be hard. It can be a tough choice to unpick that. It can be a tough choice not to use the opposite of good things, but to use bad motives or wrong and hateful methods, even when they offer a quick reward. Ever been tempted by that? Quick success, quick gains, quick reward. No one will know. No one will see. Everyone else is doing it. Ever been tempted by that one? It can be really hard. It can be a tough choice to resist that and to pursue the good instead, to live by the good. It can be really hard to resist the ugly, ugly ways of thinking, ugly ways of being, when there's so much ugliness in our world and it threatens to drown our hope sometimes. It's not easy. We need to be open to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need to challenge assumptions. Sometimes we need to challenge the way that things are done. And that can include our assumptions about God and about Scripture. You know, religion can be one of those things which is really deeply entrenched. And we are constantly invited by a relationship with the Holy Spirit to stay soft and open and in dialogue and in communication. You know, following Jesus isn't about downloading the laws and then implementing the laws. It's about a living relationship daily with the Holy Spirit. It's about relationship. It's about dialogue. It's about conversation. Otherwise, it's a dead faith, not a living word. We can sometimes think that faithfulness is the same as being rigid and unchanging in terms of our understanding. We can think that is faithful. It's faithful to be rigid and never change and to be absolutely as ever we were. But ironically, Scripture contains so much movement and so much development and so much evolution and so much renegotiation, if you like, of the story. We started the carol service last week with a reading from Isaiah. And it's incidentally, you know where we get the idea of three kings? We three kings of Orient are. Last week we talked about the fact that the word that's sometimes translated wise men is magi. These were magicians, astrologers. But where did we get the idea that they were kings? This is from Isaiah 60. You know where we get the idea that there are three? That's from the three gifts, right? We don't know how many there were. But the idea that we have three kings, not three wise men, is from this reading in Isaiah 60. And I'll share it with you again. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. That's where we get it. Because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you, the wealth of nations shall come to you. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim and the praise of the Lord. So you can see, that's where early Christians, it's got to that really gluey stage, you know? Yeah. That was Novishare, wasn't it? Okay. Hang on. Okay, I'll try not to do it in the microphone next time. Bob Fleming. Anyone remember that? Sorry. I digress. So you can see how they got this idea of three kings, because in Isaiah there's that beautiful connection of people coming to worship at the light and bringing gold and frankincense. And that's one of these amazing moments of kind of renegotiation or re-understanding, renewal of the text. Because that scripture in Isaiah 60, for many, many years, it was seen as being about when Israel was going to become a great imperial power. It was written at a time when Israel was in exile. They were on the bottom. They were oppressed. Foreign people ruling over them. And there was this great hope that one day Israel would be set free. And more than being set free, that once again they would be powerful. They would be this imperial power. And actually other nations would come to them and pay them tribute and that sort of thing. Then you can see how in Matthew's account, this story, this dream, this hope has been kind of recast, reframed, reimagined in the story of the Magi bringing their gifts. And this kind of reappropriation is really common in the New Testament. It's really common in Matthew's gospel. If you dive into Matthew's gospel a little bit deeper, the whole thing about, you know, the virgin will conceive and give birth from Isaiah. Again, that's appropriated to the story of, that's in Luke, but it's appropriated to the story of Jesus from a different context in Isaiah. But there's this sense of which, look, there's this thing happening. Sometimes we talk quite glibly about the fulfillment of prophecy. And it's not just like Nostradamus. It's not like, you know, Mystic Meg looking into the tea leaves. Prophecy is a lot bigger than that. It's this huge epic story. And rather than perhaps talking about the fulfillment of prophecy, I think it's sometimes helpful to talk about the fulfillment. Do you see what I've done there? The fulfillment of prophecy. Something happens and there's words spoken like this Isaiah prophecy, but we see a totally different dimension to it. It's applied in a different way. We see something happening in the life of Jesus that would have been surprising and not what the original authors would have anticipated at all. Something surprising and new. There's this constant development, this constant opening up. The Holy Spirit is doing something new all the time. We need to be open. We need to be receptive. We need to be open to this new thing. As Jesus followers, it's just not about us policing these static categories, being kind of like, you know, the referee of static boxes that never fix, never move on. Instead, we are invited into a dynamic living relationship with the Holy Spirit in a dynamic living world. That's why we're in a constantly shifting situation. The Holy Spirit is doing something new. See, I am doing a new thing, declares the Lord. And it's our job all the time to be ready and receptive and open and imaginative and excited to join in with that work. But that's really challenging. Because how will we navigate? How will we know left from right, right from wrong, up from down? How will we navigate our journey? You know, fixed and legalistic thinking is very good at giving clear guidance. If you've got one rule, that's nice and simple. That's why we give children simple rules. Hold my hand when you cross the road. Or don't cross the road without me. That sort of thing. But it's time, eventually, for the children to grow up. And for a five-year-old, it's really appropriate that they hold your hand when they're crossing the road. But if you've got a 25-year-old, assuming that there's no sort of developmental disorder, which is obviously a different issue, but a 25-year-old in the normal state of affairs should be able to cross the road without holding your hand. That's development. Roger's shaking his hand. You do whatever makes you feel safe, all right? Look both ways and listen. Remember what the Green Cross Code, man. Better be safe than sorry. Don't let me put you off. But this relationship, this living day-by-day relationship with the Holy Spirit, it might seem more messy. It might be tempting to look for hard, black and white, legalistic, technical definitions. It might seem a bit more messy, but that's also our solution. The Holy Spirit will guide us. Remember, seek, search, and you will find. Ask. And you will receive the answer. Knock and the door will be open. This is the kind of living relationship Jesus is inviting us into. Our compass is spiritual. It's not legalistic. It's not technical. Back to seeking. It's a daily challenge of lifting up our eyes. That's what this searching is all about. It's a daily challenge of lifting up our eyes. It's a daily challenge to search our hearts, to live in relationship. Particularly when we are confronted with tragedy or with opposition or with disappointment or frustration. You've got to lift up your eyes. You've got to lift up your eyes. When we have the opportunity to gain in a way that we know really is compromised or is wrong, lift up your eyes, lift up your eyes. When we feel betrayed or let down or hurt or badly treated, lift up your eyes, lift up your eyes. When we feel devalued or misunderstood or vulnerable or anxious or fearful, lift up your eyes. We have a choice always. Which road will we choose? Which path will we choose? Will we go the way of bitterness, the way of resentment, the way of selfishness, the way of anxiety? Or will we seek the higher way? Will we lift up our eyes? Will we choose love and faith and forgiveness and beauty and goodness and truth? Will we choose new creation, new possibilities, new beginnings, a new story? There's so much in life which tempts us to lower our eyes or lower our heart or lower our heads, our thinking. Our natural inclinations or powerful voices maybe that are lingering, you know, in the back of your head. Someone once said something. They can cause us to have our eyes dragged down and suddenly we're looking just at our feet. That's the wide gate. That path is so easy. It's the old thing, isn't it? You know, someone says one negative about you and it takes 10 positive things to equal the balance. It's so easy, our natural inclinations to pull us towards the most negative take on any situation. That's the wide way. That's the wide gate. That's the easy path. It's downhill. It's temptingly smooth. Kind of gravity pulls us that way. The narrow way is usually so much more challenging. And often, you know, we have a temptation to think of the narrow way in a kind of puritanical sense. It's all the nice things that you want to do and can't do. You've got to go, here's the wide way. Woo! And here's the narrow way. Don't enjoy yourself. Be miserable. Go to church on Sunday and don't have anything nice to eat or anything like that. You know, we tend to think of the narrow way in terms of privation. But I don't think that's helpful at all. You know, to think of it, it's all the enjoyable things that Christians, we aren't allowed to do. You know, that's not the narrow way. I think in this generation, actually, the narrow way is in that challenge of choosing to be joyful and be hopeful and be faithful and to be confident, especially in the church these days, to be confident and expectant and open that God is still about what God is about and the Holy Spirit is still powerful and he's still doing it. And we can live in the joyful expectation of that. That's the narrow way these days. It's too easy to be cynical and dismissive and down on stuff. It's hard. It's the narrow way to see the best, to look for the best, to work for the best. I think it's the narrow way to diligently each day make the choice to know the truth and to desire the good and to love the beautiful. That's the narrow way for us. To remember that the Holy Spirit is building his church and he is busily at work. To set our imaginations free so that we might actually see what he is doing and not miss it and be able to join in with it. See, if you're not looking, you might miss the star. If you're not looking up, you might not see that star at its rising. Or like Nick said, you might just say, oh, a star, how interesting. I'll follow that on Facebook. Get its updates in my feed. But not really engage with it, not really pursue it, not really ask the questions. We are invited to so much more. Just as I invite the band back to lead us in some final worship, we are invited to so much more. We are invited to a much more exciting, wonderful, challenging, life-changing, and world-changing, I believe, journey. So this Christmas, may we lift up our eyes. May we follow the light that he will guide us with. May we, this Christmas, follow the star. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you promise that you will set your light before us to guide us, just as you guided the wise men to come from afar, Lord. Just as it says in John's Gospel, how the light came to live amongst us. Lord, thank you, Jesus, that you are within us, that the light is there, the light is with us all the time. Holy Spirit, you will never forsake us, Lord. You are a lamp unto our feet. You are a light to our path. Lord, each day, and especially at this Christmas time, may we lift up our eyes. May we seek you. May we pursue the highest, Lord. May we be set free to encourage others to do the same. Not in a legalistic way, Lord, not in a religious way, but in a life-affirming, deep and fulfilled way, Lord. A way that really makes sense and a way that really connects with the situations around us, Lord. Set free our imagination and our creativity to make those connections, to not be hidebound and blind to what you're actually doing, Lord, but to be joyfully expectant to see you in all sorts of places. May we see the light, Lord. May we follow the light. May we be led more and more towards you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.